Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Online bullying, bullies convicted in Ireland could face up to 5 years in jail. They'll also be liable for a €2,500 fine as part of the penalties for breaching a new proposed law. And the sponsor of the bill, the former Labour Party leader Brendan Howland, expects it to be passed by the Dáil and it can come into effect before Christmas. Now, we've spoken about this on many occasions over the last 3 or 4 years. And the Justice Minister, by the way, Helen McEntee, assured him at a meeting last week she fully supports it and will do almost everything in her power, I suppose, to make sure this goes past the post before Christmas, and she will have the support of all the major parties. The Act will make bullying online a crime, along with revenge porn, digital harassment and online stalking. It'll be called Coco's Law, after a young girl, and I'm sure you've listened on many occasions when we spoke to Jackie Fox, Nicole Fox Fennell is her name. Sadly, she took her own life, and her mother Jackie has made it her life's mission to get the law passed. But we want to ask you as well in relation to bullying per se, not just online. By the way, this deals with the online aspect of it, which is the kind of newer digital part of it over the last 10 years or so. But, you know, bullying in schools has been a part of what we've all grown up with over the last, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, depending on how old you happen to be. And, you know, I don't think we do enough about that. So should we have fines for parents is the question I'm going to ask you today. So if your child is being bullied by somebody else, should the parent of the bully be fined? Because obviously, clearly, the kid has no money. Should they be fined in school? Hit them where it hurts, in their pocket, at early days, so it stops them from doing it. All right. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Would you agree with a fine in schools or anywhere indeed for bullies, you know, for actual physical bullying? I'm not talking about this bullying online. But let me get back to the online story first. Liz joins me on the line, and she's a friend of Jackie Fox's, who's currently outside Leinster House. Actually, as far as I know, the last time I looked, she was up on a stage giving a speech. Liz, good afternoon to you.
Hi, this is Jackie.
Oh, it is Jackie.
Yeah.
Oh, we have you back. We didn't know you were available. That's what we were going to talk to Liz.
Yeah.
I was watching you online on Facebook there a few minutes ago, and I'm very proud of you, Jackie, I have to say.
Thank you.
Was that an emotional moment for you?
Oh, just so emotional. Just every time I have to tell an adult story, it's emotional.
I know, because it never goes away. We spoke here many times. Yeah. And the last time I gave you a big hug, but mind you, I wouldn't be allowed to give you a hug now. We're not allowed. But in saying that, you know, I mean, Nicole is up there, or Coco, as you affectionately know her, she's up there, and she is so proud of you, Jackie. Yeah. So proud of you.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't be able to do it without her. I know she's with me all the time. I wouldn't have the strength unless I know she was here beside me.
Yeah, well, I'm delighted for you, and I'm delighted for everybody, including us here, that we were part of that journey with you. I know we went out on the protest with you as well, and up and down the streets of Dublin. And finally, we've got to a point now where we're hoping this will be in by Christmas. Are you pleased? The law is going to be called Coco's Law after Nicole, which is something means that her name will be in history forever. Think about that, Jackie.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't wait for the law to be passed for... you know, for everyone else in the future that went through what Nicole went through, and to have the lock for Nicole's legacy. It's a huge legacy that her name will live on.
Absolutely.
But,
can you imagine it in 100 years time, Jackie?
Yeah.
And someone looks at that law and they go, why was that called Coco's Law? And they might Google it.
Yeah.
And her name will always be there in history, as and your name as well, because, of course, you've been a huge part of this. Without you, this wouldn't be happening. And it'll always be there. And I don't know what Nicole would think of that. Would she look at you and go, I would just stop, ma?
I'd say a few times she probably said, oh, God, here she goes again.
I'm
mortified. She'd be so proud. I know she would. I know she'd be so proud. But the thing with me, with, as I said, I can't wait until the law's passed and named after Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
But with the way I feel it is as well, I still have to go home and never see her smile or hear her laugh or say she loves me or I love her. You know, so I'm going to be living this nightmare for the rest of my life. But,
I know.
You know, it'll save thousands.
And you know, I don't know what you're going to do when this goes through at Christmas and your life's mission, so to speak, is kind of complete.
Yeah.
What's your plan then? Because I don't want to see you idle with your thoughts either.
Oh,
because
No, I won't, because at the moment I'm training. I went to this group called HUG, and it's a bereavement through suicide group who have been amazing. So at the moment I've been training, and I'm becoming a facilitator, and in January I'm actually opening up my own HUG group in Wexford.
Okay.
For the support, and we're going to be opening up, we're going to try and open a HUG group in every county.
It's a wonderful idea, isn't it?
Yeah, so it is. That'll keep me busy as well.
Okay, so you were up on the podium there today, and the purpose behind you being at Leinster House today, was it just to speak about Coco's Law in general, or was it to try and accelerate it a little bit more?
Accelerated, because we had Brendan Howell and James Lawless and Owen O'Brien here as well, and we handed over the petition. We handed the petition over to the three of them as well. At 1:30 today, the Minister of Justice, I have a meeting up in the Department of Justice at 1:30 as well. So I'm going to see what they say as well. And, you know,
are you meeting with Helen McEntee, are you?
It's either Helen McEntee or James Brown. It's one of them. I'm not sure which one I've been meeting with.
Okay.
But that's a 1:30 in the Department of Justice. So I'll be up there talking to them.
Well, it looks like you have their full support, and that you also seem to have the support of all the other major parties as well. I don't think anybody, of course, would object to something like this.
No.
I don't know why they would. So it's only a matter of signing on the dotted line. The last time we kind of spoke to you, you said it had to go through, obviously, you know, the legal system where it has to be checked for problems, et cetera, et cetera, or for any
that's
objections.
All done.
It's all
that's
done,
all
yeah.
Done. Yeah, all the amendments and all are fine. That's all completed. So it's just that.
Yeah. So it won't have any legal challenges. Is the point of doing that?
No, definitely not. And everyone in the Dáil hasn't opposed to this at all. So there's no one going to object to any of this. And just because we did this today doesn't mean we're stopping. Because myself and a group, March for Justice, we go around. We went to Limerick and Galway and did a march and a talk about Coco's Law, and then the coronavirus hit. But we're going to get back onto that and talk in every county in Ireland.
Yeah,
I'm not going to sit around and wait for this to happen. We still need to keep the pressure. And
I mean, it's a big piece of legislation, by the way, which covers a lot of things, including pornography, digital harassment, online stalking.
Yeah.
So it's a big piece of legislation which is badly needed for a few years now.
Yeah, definitely, because there was nothing in place. There was nothing in place to protect. And who knows, I could have still had Nicole here with me if this had been in place years ago, where it should have been, when technology was getting more advanced. You know, things should have been put in place to protect vulnerable people like Nicole and many others that died after Nicole as well. It's unnecessary.
It is sad when we look back over the last, particularly the last 10 or 15 years, at the amount of, well, since I suppose social media came along, which is this kind of new way of bullying people and harassing people, the amount of young children who have taken their own lives is quite sad. I mean, the numbers now are quite high.
Yeah.
And hopefully something like this will be a deterrent for those who even think about harassing people who may be vulnerable, you know?
I know they have the statistics for suicide through bullying. Nicole's not a statistic, she's my daughter. But they don't have anything, any numbers for the amount of people that haven't taken their lives but are in their rooms every night, cutting themselves and self-harming and living in pain every night because of online bullying. So even the people that haven't taken their own lives, there's people out there suffering so badly every night in the hands of these people that know they can get away with it. Until Coco's Law comes out.
And I know, and there are many people listening today who may have heard you the last time you were on. And Nicole, I mean, I've seen pictures of her on numerous occasions because, of course, you've always had them with you. And she was a wonderful young girl who sadly was being harassed, bullied by, and you know who the individuals were who did it.
Yeah.
And they even went to her funeral, from what I remember you told me that at that particular
time. No, they didn't go to the funeral. They weren't allowed. Letting them. Yeah, they went a little nearer funeral.
Okay, but I remember, what was the story? There was it three individuals at the time you were telling me about at the time?
Yeah, Yeah. And then, yeah, it started off, and then it just got bigger and bigger. They had to make their bond, their little gang, bigger and bigger, you know, just to, and they just kept going and going and never left her alone. And they said that they will keep going, that they'll never leave her alone. And they did.
Unfortunately, this law is not going to deal with them, which I know breaks your heart, because there's no justice in that sense. Yeah. But the good thing that comes out of this is that going forward, hopefully this will deter anything like this happening again in the future. Will certainly reduce the amount of people this could happen to in the future, because people may think, you know, have a second thought about doing this to somebody, thinking there might be a fine or they go to jail for doing it.
Yeah, and I think Niall as well, they're going to have to make an example of people, you know, at the start, and give heavy fines or imprisonment, whatever it may be, you know, and don't go easy. Where if they make examples of people, that will deter others from doing it. But they have to be strict from the start, you know, to deter people from.
Well, there's some lovely messages coming in here, Jackie. Messages of congratulations. People have heard you on the show so many times at this stage. They're almost familiar with you, nearly as familiar as they are with me. I'll just give you an example. Here's one here.
How's it going, Niall? Just want to say to Jackie there, absolutely fantastic work she's doing on Coco's Law. Coco's with her every step of the way. Powerhouse of a woman. Cheers.
Powerhouse of a woman. Did you hear
that?
I mean, people are so proud of what you've done and what you've achieved. And somebody says, a text here, Niall, why I've always wondered why there isn't a national anti-bullying policy in all schools instead of individual ones, as some schools live in denial and don't practice what they preach. But it should be a one strike and you're out. Well done to Coco's Law. What a great achievement, says Dean Finglas. Yeah, so I mean, there's the amount of people sending in messages here, Jackie, well wishers, because they know that you've worked tirelessly, and you know what, you have some strength, because after what has happened to you, and we spent hours talking to you on the phone after sadly Nicole took her life, and you know, you're such a strong woman. Here's another message here for you. Listen to this.
Hey, Noel, just want to say that lady needs to hold herself in the highest regard possible. She is absolutely amazing, and what she's doing for her daughter's legacy is astonishing. And not only her daughter's legacy, but every other person, man, woman or child in this country that is suffering at the moment. It's just amazing what she's doing, and fair play to her.
Yeah, I'm telling you, she's proud of you. Everybody is very, very proud of you. Jackie, listen, thank you very much indeed. And by the way, I want you to be in here. Hopefully all the COVID will be over by the time this lock was in. You come in here with a bottle of champagne and we'll celebrate, all right?
Yeah, and can I just say really quickly, I wouldn't have been able to do it without the people of Ireland as well. I give out about social media and all the bad sides, but it has got its good sides as well. For everyone that has followed me, that has shared everything, that, you know, without the people of Ireland spreading the word about Coco's Law as well. And I know people are saying they're proud of me, but I'm so proud of the people that have helped me along the way as well.
And you know, we should be everybody listening should be most proud of you, Jackie, because without you, it would have never happened. And as I said to you, whatever you believe in, whatever religion you happen to believe in, Nicole is somewhere looking down on you, and she is delighted. And she will be forever in history now, thanks to you. But she's still probably looking at you going, "Ma, what are you?"
I know. I say so.
Listen, thank you very much indeed, Jackie. Lovely talking to you again. All right, we'll talk to you
thanks
soon.
Thanks a million.
All right,
thank you. Okay, bye.
There you go, Jackie Fox. What a wonderful woman. God, that would almost bring you to tears, wouldn't it? Her daughter, she spoke about many times on the air here on the radio station. Sadly, she was bullied so badly that she started to self-harm, and she took her own life at 21 years of age, only a short while ago, only a couple of years ago. And as far as I remember, it would have been January 2.5 years ago, wouldn't that be right, yeah? And for 2.5 years, Jackie has campaigned. We went out, myself and Alina went out on one of the protests with her. She has campaigned tirelessly to have legislation brought in so it would never happen to somebody else again without punishment and without justice. And that legislation hopefully will be in before Christmas, and it'll be called Coco's Law, because that was her nickname. Wonderful, wonderful. It's great to hear a good story, isn't it? Good news story, all right? But I want to hear what you want to think, by the way, about bullying in schools in general, not just online. We've dealt with the online. Thankfully now we have legislation there for that. I mean, I mean, while Coco's and this law is welcomed, there are some people who say it doesn't go far enough in terms of bullying, you know, I suppose physical bullying in schools. Or, you know, when you're actually face-to-face with somebody. I mean, it's all well and good talking about cyberbullying, and that's great, and we're doing something about that. Our children are back in school, and some of them have to face their bully again. Should there be more done for the actual face-to-face bullying when it comes to school policies? Suggesting in the past where fines, I suppose, for parents would might be a good idea, might be a good deterrent. Would you support that? Maybe if we had a €1,000 fine, even that it had to be donated to the school or something like that. To stop this bullying, because bullying is essentially an epidemic. And it has been for years, I went through it when I was 9 years of age in school. I was terrified, constantly terrified going to school because of one individual. One person destroyed my childhood in school. For years, every single day, I used to hide. We had these prefabricated buildings because the school was quite busy, quite full. So we had two prefabs. And during lunch, I used to have to go around the back of the prefab at 9 or 10 years of age and hide. And I'd sit around there with my lunch. But he'd find me. He'd eventually look around the whole school and he'd eventually find me. Him and his two or three mates or whatever. Usually it was, you know, taken. If I had pocket money or if I had lunch, they'd take it off me. If I had maybe a drink, they'd pour it over me. All sorts of stuff like that. Thankfully, thanks to some friends of mine, at the time, they helped me stand up to the bullying. One person who I know listens to the show on a regular basis, he's now living in Kerry, Thomas Farrelly. Charlie, as he was affectionately known, was one of my best friends in school and stood up for me many times because he was a bit bigger than me. I was quite kind of quite small in school. So thanks, Tom. And there was loads of other people who did stand up for me at the time. Eddie Heffron was another guy who was a good mate of mine in school, and they stood up for me because I was a kind of small guy. You know, and I was picked on a good bit, but this particular guy made my life hell in school. And it had massive ramifications throughout my life. But bullying can be stopped. For example, my parents would have went to the school on a regular basis about this particular individual, but nothing was ever done. Now, I know it was different times, but that still happens today. If maybe he or his parents got a fine, maybe it would teach them, you know, that this is not the way you do things and this can't continue. Teach them. Hit them where it hurts. In their pocket. Let me know if you think it'd be a good idea. A €1,000 fine for anybody caught bullying another child in school. The number is 087-188-0008.
Niall, the likes of yourself and other people that are giving that lady the platform to get her point of view and her opinion and her cause out there should also be very proud of themselves. You're giving her the opportunity to show the people of this country what happens when people bully online or in schools. And you should also be very proud of yourself, Noah, because without your platform, that lady would have struggled to get her point out there. So fair play to you as well, mate.
All right, thanks very much. And yes, you do make a good point, and there would be other newspapers who ran our story at the time as well, but I do remember that she was on with us from the very, very start. And not only that, but myself and Lena actually went. I don't go to protests because, generally speaking, but I didn't believe this was particularly a protest because, well, we're governed by the BAI and I'm not supposed to go on protests anyway. But on this particular occasion, because I was personally affected by bullying throughout my whole life, myself and Alina went on the protest and were quite happy to support her to campaign for this particular piece of legislation. And we've had Jackie on the air many times. So I'm delighted to be, thank you, that listener sent that in. I'm delighted to be part of it. Just, by the way, just to mention as well, before we get back into the bullying topic, I'm just looking at a story here in relation to Dr. Martin Feely. You may remember over the weekend, there was a story in the Irish Times. And in fairness to the Irish Times more recently, in the last, certainly in the last 2 or 3 weeks, they are covering stories who challenge the government's view on the way we're dealing with COVID-19. And Martin Feely challenged the view. He's a senior doctor in the HSE. And he had a lot to say, but I'm not going to go into the whole article. But basically, he was suggesting that the government's reaction to it was completely disproportionate and it wasn't as dangerous as it was being made out to be. A lot of people agree with that view. Many people don't agree with that view, but some people do agree with that view. I put it up on Twitter and I said, let's see how long it takes the HSE to discredit him and to distance themselves from his remarks. He's a very intelligent man from all from some of the comments I've seen online. He's a patient advocate. He cares very much about his patients. He's a very qualified man. He's a senior doctor in the HSE. He wouldn't be a senior doctor in the HSE if he wasn't a qualified and intelligent person in his field. But sadly, the HSE then said they would distance themselves from his remarks and suggested that his position was untenable. which is a nice, friendly way of saying maybe you should go. Sadly, it seems that he has resigned. And I find it, in this country at the moment, the way it works, and I watched Primetime last night, and Owen Corry, the travel expert, was on, and Anthony Staines, the immunologist or whatever he is, he's a doctor of some professor of some description, was also on the air. Weirdly wearing a mask at the start of the interview, but then removed it halfway through because I think it got too warm. But anyway, Anthony Staines, you know, did his usual, similar to many of the other immunologists in Ireland, which is, you know, to terrify the life out of people as far as I can see. Owen Corry, and by the way, blamed the virus on the situation we're in financially in this country and the restrictions that we have and the way people's lives have been restricted. Whereas Owen Corry said it's not the virus, it's the government's reaction to the virus. But as soon as Owen Corry started to say that, he was silenced. They kind of lowered him down, started asking him other questions and kind of wanted to move very quickly away from that. They didn't want anyone to disagree with Anthony Staines, which I thought was very strange. In this country now, you cannot, it seems, disagree with anything the government say. And, you know, there's no doubt everybody agrees there's a virus there and sadly vulnerable groups are being killed by it. And people who are in vulnerable groups can die. We've had viruses for years and many people do die. That's an unfortunate fact of life. Mortality is a fact of life. But to suggest that we cannot discuss it, we cannot have a debate. I mean, if he said that on Sunday in the article in the Irish Times and the HSE didn't agree with him, why can't we all turn around and talk about it and say, well, OK, there's some validity in some of what he said here. Let's look at that. And maybe, yeah, the government should do this. Or maybe he shouldn't really say that because that's not the right thing to say. Why can't we discuss it like we used to? Now it's just as soon as you say something the government don't agree with or you go against the government guidelines in any shape or form, you're fired. Or you should resign. That's the best thing for you to do. Just go away, crawl under a rock, because nobody wants to know what you want to talk about. Because, in fact, you might be telling the truth, but we don't want to hear that. So it's just incredible the way this country has gone. And I find it shameful that people who I respected in the media for many, many years are letting so-called experts on radio, on television, say stuff that's completely twisted without actually challenging them. They're letting politicians away with it. You might notice, of course, that the likes of Stephen Donnelly, Simon Harris, will not come onto my show. They won't. We've requested it numerous times. I've publicly outed them for doing it. They will not come on this show because they don't want to be challenged. That's all it is. And I say to Simon Donnelly or Stephen Donnelly again, you've been on this show many times before you were Minister for Health. So you used the platform on many occasions to get where you are today, as you did other platforms. Come on the show now. You're Minister for Health now. Unless you're a coward, of course. I hope not. You're the Minister for Health. Right, getting back to bullying, by the way. Let me go to Ger. Ger, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Ger?
Hey, Niall. I've just been listening to all that. And it's mental, isn't it?
Well, I think it is.
The only thing I'll say about that is when you discuss things, the truth tends to get trashed out. And I think that's what they're afraid of.
Well, look, I'm all for saving lives and let's protect vulnerable people and all that kind of stuff. And we should be doing that. And by the way, there's a report out today in the way we handled this at the very start in relation to the elderly in care homes. And that report is going to the COVID committee today. And I think there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to come out of that. That's not going to be very nice for the government. Maybe that's why they all kind of isolated themselves yesterday. And I'm delighted to hear Stephen Donnelly didn't have COVID-19 in the end, by the way. He got the test very quick, didn't he? Two or three hours. But anyway, the point I was trying to make is that we should be allowed to discuss it. We should be allowed to talk
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
But we're not.
Because they're not telling us the truth, and it's simple as that. Like I say, if you do discuss it, the truth will come out, and they're terrified of that. I've not believed a word these people have said to us since it started.
All right, getting back to the bullying.
The bullying, congratulations to that girl. She's doing fairly well, you have
brilliant,
to say.
Brilliant, isn't she? She's brilliant.
Fantastic. The only thing I would say is the fines are just not good enough. The fine is a weak solution to any problem. It doesn't correct the issue at source. The problem is
when we're looking at bullying, the majority of this bullying now happens in schools, right? So they're generally minors.
We don't have
a jail for minors, generally speaking, you know.
There's an age group which the young kids just say what they see. It's not bullying. It's not malicious. They just say what they see. But it gets a certain age when you kind of have to teach them, and look, you know, you can't cross this line like that. I'm talking 7, 8 year olds from that age. You should be starting to teach them. You know, you can't.
Absolutely.
Just say
I couldn't disagree.
Tall,
I couldn't disagree with
you
saying.
Wide, you know?
But I think we have to be careful how we do this. Like, I remember when I was being bullied. When I was nine, I was being bullied. There was one main guy, and he had two or three mates. And I could see sometimes his mates were a bit uncomfortable about what they were getting involved in. So in that sense, they're young people that have to learn that you can't do this. A fine would hit them in the pocket. Now, don't get me wrong. If there was a second, if they did it a second time, well, then we have to look at, you know, juvenile delinquents and then in some sort of care home or something. I don't know. But we have to look at what we do with them then.
Again, like, it's not even like that. I think it's a matter of sitting the kid down, explaining to the kid why he's doing what he's doing wrong. You know, beating someone with a stick doesn't teach them not to do it. It doesn't teach them why they're doing it. Sorry. You know what I mean? Yeah. If someone understands why things have been done, then they tend to stop doing it. If you just tell them they can't do it and they don't understand why they can't do it, there's still that tendency to do it because they don't think they're doing any wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Right, okay, so you're saying basically it's not affecting the child of the fine because the parents are paying it anyway, so he'd just go and
definitely
do it again.
Won't. You know,
you might
end up getting the kid upside the head, which you don't want either, like, you know?
Well, so how do you deal with it? You know, if Johnny
education,
is...
Education, it's you sit the kid down and you talk this week about it, you talk next week about it, and you continually talk and talk and talk until they understand why. You know, you can't say that someone's too tall, too short, too wide, whatever, like the insults are.
Do you go into a classroom with a screen and show them pictures of all the young children who've taken their own lives in the last 10 years?
No, this is the end result
of your actions.
Well, like, that's all the shock, actually.
But I mean, what harm would that be?
Well, you sit around and discuss it as conversation, you know, as general chat, like, you know, with placards and horrific images, like, you know.
John, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, John?
How are we doing, Noel?
Good. You were bullied yourself, and you don't believe the fines would work?
No, I wouldn't believe the fines would work, probably because the kids who are doing the bullying, if they come home with fines, fines are sent home from school, they're just going to get it at home, you know.
So they're just obviously the bullying itself comes from the way they've been raised, obviously, in the first
100%,
place.
100%, yeah. I agree with that. But I don't think that's the right way of doing it. Like, you know, it's probably through education. Your last caller was on the ball. Like, you know, through being told in school, education, explaining what are they doing wrong. They're seeing horrific things at home, no doubt about it. And they're coming to school, they're taking out on other kids. And then if they're getting a fine and bring that home, you know, their lives wouldn't be worth living.
And that is the case sometimes. Not always the case, by the way, because the guy that bullied me, his parents, as far as I remember, they were decent people. And he came from a good family. He was just an arsehole. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some kids just do it for power, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but no one knows what happens outside the four walls of a house as well. Like, it might look like that to you, but it mightn't be the case, you know? And sometimes it does look that. It's not in different types of society. It looks like that, or it comes from decent family. That doesn't really, I don't think that really hits it, really, you know?
And when were you bullied? What age were you when you were bullied?
I was 13.
Okay. And 13. What was it? It's just the odd punch every now and again? Was it, or what?
It was just name-calling, cornered, you know, you know, it just, any time there was sports on or anything like that, that was the time I got my, picked harder than other people.
Yeah.
And it did affect me through my teens. My parents tried their best with it and stuff like that, you know, they tried to bring to the school's attention. Now I'm talking, this is 30 years ago, like, the school kind of, they kind of laughed it off, like saying that kind of thing doesn't happen in school. It was a school in the city, and they just didn't really
schools are very different in those days. Sure, I remember complaining about the bullying at the time. I was nine, and the bullying was so bad that I ended up with alopecia, which means you know, you lose your hair.
Yeah.
And I had these bald patches on my head, and that made things worse because then they all started slagging me over the bald patches on my head. Yeah. And I remember the teacher turning around to me. He's still alive. And he turned around to me and he said to me, one day I said something in class that somebody had said something to me. And he said, if you don't shut up, I'll pull the rest of your hair out.
Whoa, yeah.
But that was what it was like then. Now, that obviously wouldn't happen now. The teacher would be fired if that happened now. But it's just a combination of everything, you know?
Yeah, I can still remember, like, the teacher's still there in that school. And I've seen the teacher, and the teacher probably will end up, kind of going to end up teaching my own kids, but that teacher actually said to me, when we actually had a meeting in the school, it was over name calling, and they had a particular name for me now, and every day they came in, it was just every day relentless. And when we had the meeting, there was four or five lads at it, and we sat down, we kind of had a meeting over it. Now, having a meeting at 13 years of age is...
Yeah,
you're in the one room, it was very difficult. But the teacher kind of, the bottom line she said, was, why couldn't you come up with a different name for him?
Stop.
Instead of calling him this name, you can
That's certainly not going to solve the problem. I'm sorry, I'm running out of time. John, it was lovely to hear your story, and thank you very much indeed for calling in. And you're on Classic Kids as well. How are you doing,
Anne?
How are you doing, Anne? I'm sorry to rush everybody off the air. I hate doing that. I feel really rude doing it because I've only got about a minute and a half left. but Anne, you believe the parents should be fined?
Yep, I absolutely do. I have 5 kids, and if one of them did something wrong, I'd expect to be informed and I'd expect repercussion because they are my responsibility. They represent me outside this house, and anything they do falls back on me. So, yeah. Mm.
But the point, I suppose the point John was making is that some of these bullies, the reason they're bullies is because they're badly treated at home. And if a fine is sent to the house, should the bully's just going to get a hiding from his parents?
Okay, so in situations like that where the, if something like that is going on, the teachers and authorities are normally aware of something because, through school. So in situations like that, something like a probation, probation thing should be set up to get social workers. There's more employment for people. Probation services should be set up to go in and check the home and make sure the kids are okay and whatever else.
Yeah.
But I am telling you, if a child goes out there and is tormenting the heart of another child and is going home to no repercussion, they're going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
If parents are aware of it and are doing nothing about it, hitting them in the pocket is the only way to go.
Oh, I'd be horrified if I thought one of my children bullied a child, particularly after what I went through in my life. And that my own daughter was bullied as well. So
you actually made me cry listening to you early on. I could actually picture one of my kids, one of my boys or something being bullied like that. And my boys are small in stature as well.
Yeah.
So you had me in bits. And Jackie is the most phenomenal woman I have ever heard.
She's a wonderful woman. She's a wonderful woman.
My God. Thanks to her for making social media a little bit safer for our kids, because the way it's going now, social media is in.
This is the new bullying, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. So, and the bully follows from home now, so that don't only have the anxiety of going into school over it.
And you know what I hate? When I hear people saying, you know, save a little 13-year-old or 14-year-old is being bullied online, or even a teenager, an older teenager.
Yeah.
And I hear people saying, well, then why don't they just not go online? So, and I'm going, because why should they not? But in other words, that's like saying if somebody's being bullied on the bus, they shouldn't get the bus.
Yeah. Yeah, let's surprise them and let the bullies continue to move on to their next victim. Yeah,
absolutely.
That'll do it.
I mean,
it's disgraceful. And I really do think, like, if one of mine went out and was tormenting someone and it got back to me, I'd kill them first of all.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If I didn't, I would expect a repercussion from the authorities because I don't have my kids.
But see, the thing is, you're a responsible parent, Anne, by the sounds of things, because you genuinely care. But there are parents out there, sadly, who don't care.
I know that. And I've seen it, and I've had it. I've had it with my daughter this year. She's only 11, and I nearly went through a mother for a shortcut.
Yeah.
No, and that is the truth. And it stopped.
That's old school material, isn't it? Yeah. And to be honest with you, sometimes old school works best.
Yeah, I am old school.
Yeah, absolutely. So am I.
Old school doesn't work as well, so you have to deal with these people. Yeah.
I know, you do anything for your kids. You do anything for your kids. It's lovely talking to you. Thanks very much indeed, Anne. I appreciate you coming on the air.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.